Welcome to Revival Town Podcast. I'm Chuck Tate. That's Andy King.
Sorry, everyone. I forgot to bring the music down. I'm sorry.
Hey, I could almost reach over and do it myself. We're close today.
Hey, this, you know, we've always said people will not know where we're going to be every podcast to another. We are in the basement of Rock Church.
We're in the basement. We're in this our Fuse Kids room because our Wi-Fi is out.
Yeah.
Upstairs, and we're having everything being reconfigured and reset, so we'll be good to go next time. We wanted to record in the new office space. We have a new office space.
Oh, I've seen the office space.
Unfortunately, we're in the basement instead.
That's all right. So
this is still cool.
Yeah, it is.
I like it.
Yeah. You doing all right?
I'm doing good.
Last time we recorded was before Easter.
Yes.
So how did Easter go for you guys?
Easter was the best attended service and weekend we had since before COVID.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we had just under 500 for the weekend, and we haven't done that in a long time. Yeah. And it was really good. We have a lot of good things happening. We're baptizing 18 people Sunday.
Oh,
look as the that. Result of Easter.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's good. That's good. Well, and I know we were about to record, and someone was banging on the door. And you didn't hear them because the hearing aids. And so I said, there's someone banging at the door. And you were like, I'll be all right. We'll ignore them. And then you look at your screen on your camera.
Security.
And it was the baptism crew coming to set up for baptisms. Yes.
We have to rent a stage when we do baptisms. It extends on the front of our stage. It has steps so people can. We put the tank up there and all that. But yeah, so I forgot that they were coming today, and our office is closed on Friday, so our office manager was not here. No other staff are here, and I have a loaner hearing aid, so I'm just a little bit off. The reason
you're always off.
I wanted to ignore them is because the office is closed today.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And I had a feeling I knew. I thought it was going to be about something else where, you know.
Well, you just didn't want to mix with the commoners. That's what it was.
I mixed it with the commoners. Well, there's somebody that has been in and out of jail and had some things going. And I just thought it was going to be related to all that. And, you know, anyway, our office is closed today. But I pulled up, thank God for technology, pulled up the security cameras on my phone. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Baptisms.
Oh. It would have been you with the cup. Yeah. Hey, by the way, talking about cups.
You like the one I brought you today?
You got me a cup. I don't know if we can. I don't think I can zoom in. True. From Brother Terry.
Brother Terry, which you introduced me to him, and now I follow and watch, and he's so funny. It's a parody.
Yeah,
he's a real pastor.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with Brother Terry, he is Jack Morin, who is Leland's brother.
Yes, which we've had
Leland on, and so he has this incredible theological side, Jack does, but then he has this parody account that you just got to follow it, Brother Terry.
It's basically having fun with the old school charismatic movement that we grew up.
Around.
Yeah. And he did too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's
still
not just
around a lot.
He's still
around.
He's not just making fun of it. It's fun. It's so hilarious. Man. In fact, Josh from Consumed by Fire.
Yeah.
He was talking to me. He follows Brother Terry, loves him, and we were just going back and forth with Brother Terry stuff. So I had to order them. I had to order the mug.
Yeah, it says on the front, God is too obsessed with me for the devil to get the best of me.
Yes. God is too obsessed with me for the devil to get the best of me.
That's funny. So, well, we have got a treat for everyone today.
Yes.
We've got a returning guest.
Yep.
And last time he was here, he was Pastor Mike. Now he's Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike. Yep. Dr. Mike.
And we are so excited for you guys to hear this whole talk conversation on trauma. You want to just unpack it a bit.
Take us on this trauma journey.
So
Dr. Mike Hutchings has a book out that is about being set free from trauma and PTSD.
Yeah.
And he has a new book, which I'm not going to mention that now, that he's going to talk about, that he's writing, that will come out in January, that is going to be so good and helpful.
And but timely, this, very timely.
Very timely. But this conversation that we're having is really important to listen to, to watch. If you have been wounded and maybe your soul's been shattered and you have experienced PTSD. You're doing LSD. If you're taking the Gideon gummies. No, if you've experienced PTSD or any type of trauma.
Any
doesn't
trauma.
Have to be attached to military or, childhood trauma, abuse, whether it's sexual or emotional abuse or verbal abuse, perhaps a marriage that went south. I mean, who knows? But I tell you what, it's a divine appointment today because Dr. Mike, he's going to pray at the end, and it's powerful.
Yeah,
really is gifted when it comes to seeing people. And he's literally, through this model that he shares, has literally seen thousands of people set free from trauma.
Yeah. So why don't you take a seat? I'd grab a cup of coffee. This is a good one. And enjoy this conversation with Dr. Mike.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
All right, everyone, it's time for another conversation on Revival Town Podcast. Our guest today, Dr. Mike Hutchings, is the president of the God Heals PTSD Foundation. Dr. Mike Hutchings is passionate about seeing people set free from the chains of trauma, anxiety, and PTSD. He travels the world ministering healing and training people how to minister to the traumatized. Dr. Mike also resources treatment centers and individuals through his book, Supernatural Freedom from the Captivity of Trauma. Dr. Mike, it's so great to have you back on Revival Town. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's so great to see your faces, hear your voice again. I tell you, I think about all of y'all. So we see each other on Facebook, but think about you all the time. I miss all of my friends and colleagues in Peoria. That was such a significant part of my life, and still is, for that matter. And it's just great to privilege to be back on your podcast with you today.
Well, it's great to have you back on. I know folks that know us and know the Peoria area and Central Illinois area will have rich memories for you when you were in the area pastoring. And we lost a great person when you stepped away from pastoring, but you are now really impacting so many. And just from our conversation before we started recording, we're going to get into it. Your next book also is going to be impacting so many as well. But it's been a few years since we had you on. In fact, we were just talking. It was one of our earliest podcasts, and you had just written your book. And so you were about to go on this adventure of preaching and talking about this whole subject of trauma. But for those who may not have heard that episode, can you just first give us a bit of a history lesson on who Dr. Mike is? Now, I've known you as Pastor Mike for years, and so if I slip up and say Pastor Mike and not Dr. Mike, forgive
me. All right,
me.
Yeah. No problem.
But why don't you first give us a bit of history on who you are, and then we'll go into the book, and we'll talk also about the future. So who is Dr. Mike?
So I'm a boy from Illinois, guys. I mean, that's what I am. Born and raised in Chillicothe, Illinois. Peoria is my hometown. After my call in ministry, I was in the First Baptist Church of Chillicothe. When I received my call to ministry, I went and got my master's degree ordination in Chicago at Northern Seminary, and then pastored Baptist churches for about 10 years. And then I got touched by the Spirit of God through the Vineyard Movement, and came back to the Peoria area, helped establish a vineyard in Peoria, not the one that's there, but another one. And then I established Eagle's Nest Fellowship in Chillicothe that was there for 12 years. Burned out. I didn't want to be a pastor ever again. I was in a burned out mode. And the Lord said, well, who's the boss? And I said, well, you are. And he says, well, here, I want you to go here, which was at that time Trinity Mennonite Church in Morton. Yeah. And actually, I didn't want to do it. The Lord said, who's the boss? So I went to Trinity. Had 13 amazing years at Trinity from 1998 until 2012. And it was actually when I was on a Brazil mission trip with my friend, Dr. Randy Clark, who's over Global Awakening, that he asked me if I would come and help direct his education programs. And honestly, guys, I said no first because I was really happy. We had our house in Morton just great. The church was going fantastic. Kids and grandkids around me. But then I went around to all of my friends, including a lot of the pastor friends that I knew in Peoria. And I said, guys, what do you think? And they said, well, we don't want you to leave, but this is what you were made to do. Yeah. So in May of 2012, it'll be next month. I've been out here 12 years. I've been directing the education programs for Global Awakening. And then in the midst of that, I was asked by Randy Clark to pray for an Iraqi war veteran who was suffering with severe post-traumatic stress disorder. And guys, I had no clue what to do, but I asked the Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here? And I learned some steps about how to pray for people with severe trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder. This was in November of 2012. And the guy got completely healed of all of his symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. That began kind of a year of discovery where I was praying for people in conferences who had all sorts of kinds of trauma. And eventually in 2013, I established the God Heals PTSD Foundation, which is actually a training and equipping foundation where we go around to different churches, military bases. We now go around the world. We train people how to bring the power of healing prayer to people who carry unhealed trauma or post-traumatic stress disorder. So that's actually what the book came out of, was the trauma seminar, the Healing the Wounds of Life and War seminar. And as of today, we've trained over 20,000 people in 9 countries and 36 states in the healing prayer model. And we have over 27,000 verified testimonies of people who've been healed of post-traumatic stress and trauma, not from me praying for all of them, but from all the people that I've trained. Yeah. So this book, that's The Supernatural Freedom from the Captivity of Trauma. That's where the book came from, was from that seminar. Wow. And so I still, by the way, for those of you in Peoria, I'm still married to the amazing Roxanne Hutchings, 43 years. We have, she hasn't killed me yet. Some of you will understand that, but she hasn't killed me yet. We have 3 children. We have 5 grandchildren, 4 of which are in Galesburg in the Peoria area. So we have to venture back to Illinois on a frequent basis just to connect with the rest of our kids and grandkids. But I'll always be an Illinois boy at heart. Yeah. And so that's me.
Brilliant. I love it. I remember, of course, when we planted Rock Church, it was in 1998, and right around the time that you took over Trinity. And I know that not only were you an incredible pastor at Trinity, but really a pastor to pastors and a mentor for others, to young guys like myself. So I just want to say thank you so much for speaking into my life and pouring into me. And it's really, really cool to see how God is using you and using your book, and you're traveling all over the globe setting people free. And there are so many people that need set free, and I'm sure you have lots of stories. Is there any one particular story that just jumps out above the rest?
Well, I think this is one. This is just recently. We did a conference at Andrew Womack's place in Colorado Springs, and a man came up to me at the very beginning of the conference. He was suffering severe post-traumatic stress disorder. His oldest son, nearly died of septic shock when he was 1.5 years old. And it was a very long, drawn out, very, very difficult thing. So eventually the child got healed, but the man still carried all of the trauma from that, to the extent that any time his child would get a sniffle or sneeze or cough, he would just go into massive panic mode. Mm-hmm. He couldn't sleep. He had chronic nerve pain. He felt like that, you know, the next shoe was going to drop, bad things are going to happen, and his life was falling apart. So he came up to me at this conference. He says, I've read your book. I want you to pray for me right now. And I said, hey, dude, I haven't even spoken yet. Can you wait till I speak? He goes, no, I've been suffering with this for 5 years, and I need help now.
Wow.
So
wow.
I prayed for him, and the power of God came on him. You know, the guys, you know, the power to do this is not in any kind of prayer. It's in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that sets people free. We just apply it. And as we applied it, the Lord literally erased his memories. He knew that his son was sick, but all of those tormenting memories that kept him up at night were gone. He slept for over 8 hours for the first time in 5 years. Didn't have any nightmares, night terrors. His chronic nerve pain left. He just is completely free of any symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, most people relate post-traumatic stress disorder to military veterans or police officers, people like that. But somebody like him was just a dad who just got severely injured in his soul by what happened to his son. Mm. He carried that suffering as well for 5 years, and the Lord set him free, and now he's praying for other people to get set free from it. So that's just a recent testimony that came just earlier this year.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
When you travel around to different churches, obviously you do a lot of churches and conferences. Do you mm-hmm. see, though, like a common thread of what, you know, like you see a lot of, obviously you mentioned veterans, but a lot of war type things, or do you see a common thread of that, or is it just so many different traumatic events in people's lives that really are hindering them?
So the first thing I see is a lot of unhealed childhood trauma, where people who were physically abused, sexually abused, they were abandoned, they were emotionally wounded. And, you know, we all think about our lives with our parents, and none of us have perfect parents, but I'm talking about people who really experience trauma.
Yeah.
And they think, and here's the deal, they think that what they experienced is normal. That's just what their life is. They don't understand it as a injury to their soul, and that many times they identify themselves by the way people have treated them, by their experiences. They form their identity by their trauma rather than by what God says about them. And so unhealed childhood trauma is a huge piece. I think the second piece is the kind of trauma, whether it be from car accidents or domestic abuse, or just, you know, being traumatized by all the things we experience on television. I mean, whether it's Ukraine or whether it's Israel or whether it's 9/11, I mean, I run into people all the time that were in New York City that still carry the trauma from 9/11 when they were in downtown. And yeah. So there's those unusual instances, and then there's the common instance that really trauma is rising in our society and really throughout the world. And there's where there used to be kind of safety barriers, and there used to be, you know, you could feel safe. People don't feel safe in cities. They don't feel safe in places anymore. They don't feel safe personally. And so I'd like to tell you there's a common thread. I think unhealed childhood trauma is the top one.
Wow. And a lot of people living in fear, I would imagine. And have you noticed, obviously, Jesus is the healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And we also know that not only does he heal, but he delivers and he sets free. And Paul says in Ephesians 6 that there's more going on than what we can see with our natural eyes. Have you seen any type of spiritual bondage in, as far as connected to trauma? Is there some demonic things going on?
Okay. So here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. So what happens when you have a trauma is that it, you know, when we talk about demonic, when people have demonic influence, that the demonic influence holds on to the sin in their life. Well, that same demonic influence can hold on to the wound that has occurred to them. So think of trauma not as a mental disorder, but think of it as a soul injury, a wound. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it says in Psalm 34:18, David writes, God heals the brokenhearted and is near to those who are crushed in spirit. The word brokenhearted there literally means to have a shattered soul. So wow. What trauma does is it shatters your soul. It shatters the way you think, the way you feel, the way you make choices. It shatters the sense of identity. And then when you have a traumatic event, what the demonic powers of darkness can do is they come and they use that traumatic event as a landing strip. And like a spirit of trauma can come and say to you, well, see, this happened to you because of who you are. You're a bad person. And that's shame. So people actually carry shame from the trauma that they've experienced. Or it'll say, well, you know, it comes and lands on that traumatic event and say, the reason why this happened to you is because God is punishing you. Mm. And so therefore, God is the author of your trauma. So how can God heal me if God is the one that put this trauma on me in the first place? So the demonic oppression that I've seen is trauma, is torment, is panic and anxiety, is suicide. And by the way, suicide is a demonic spirit. It is not, nobody has a suicidal thought unto their own. All suicidal thoughts come from the powers of darkness. There's a spirit of addictions that comes upon people who have unhealed trauma. There is, obviously, if there's sexual abuse that's occurred, literally the demons that were on the abuser who abused you can have access to you through that connection that happened in the sexual violation. So there's lots of spiritual bondage that is connected to trauma because they literally use the traumatic event and the wound as a door of access to lie to the people, to keep them in bondage. This is why it says in Isaiah 61, Jesus came, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to the afflicted, to the traumatized, the victimized. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to declare liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. Think of captives as those who've had traumatic things happen to them, and it puts them in chains and shackles that only the power of the blood of Jesus can set them free.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing this. I know that today is a divine appointment to have you here, because I believe that God has already set things into motion to get the right people on the other side of the screen, whether they're watching or listening, because I know there are people listening right now that have experienced trauma, that are carrying around guilt, they're carrying shame. Their soul has been shattered, whether it's through grieving the loss of a child or a loved one, or perhaps something that was done to them when they were young, or even in a marriage. But the good news is God is present right now to set people free. And before we sign off a little bit later on in the podcast, we're going to ask you to pray for this. So I encourage everybody to keep listening, to keep watching, because Dr. Mike is going to pray. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is going to set some people free today.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we were talking earlier before we hit record. And obviously, as you've been on this journey, you've seen a lot of people that come in. Whether it's through childhood trauma, through and you've talked about so many different types of trauma, but one area that you have seen significantly is the whole side of church trauma, and you are in the middle of writing a book about this.
I am.
Can you unpack what the book is going to be about, and even before that, what you have been seeing, which has now triggered you to start writing this book?
Yeah. So what would happen when I first started this journey is I would be with Dr. Randy Clark at conferences, and Randy would have me get up and give a testimony of somebody who got healed of trauma. And then he would say, okay, everybody's got PTSD. Come on down and let Mike pray for you. So I would have all of these people come with trauma or PTSD, and I would encounter, you know, veterans and first responders and childhood trauma, but I would encounter all these church people, both leaders as well as parishioners, who were carrying trauma from a very unhealthy church environment where they got wounded in the midst of what was going on there. So what I see is both leaders who have been what I call they've suffered sheep bite. That is, they have been really treated horribly either by the church people themselves or by maybe conference leaders, denominational leaders above them. And many times, I mean, I can't tell you the number of pastors that I've prayed for that have gotten kicked out of churches. They have gotten what I call the left foot of fellowship. As they're trying faithfully to serve, they just get kicked out because for any number of reasons. On the other side, I deal with parishioners, people who have been faithful church members, but because of either a narcissistic personality in the senior leader or a very unhealthy church staff and leadership that is all about control, manipulation, domination, that you know, if you don't do it our way, and, you know, and one of the things that's said over and over again is, if you leave this church, you're leaving the will of God. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, how many of you know that's control, right, manipulation, and right, domination? It's witchcraft is what it is.
Yes.
And yet they've left, they're wounded. And of course, what happens is they may go to another church and find the same thing happening there in a different way. So then they say, well, this must be the whole church. I'm not going to go back to church because church is no longer a safe place. You can't, it's not a safe place at all. And then, guys, I'm just going to be candid. The worst part of it is that most church leaders are not willing to address not only the whole issue of trauma in general, but in particular, what the church does to people when it's unhealthy, when it's broken, when it's more dominated by control than it is about empowering people. I think the body of Christ is supposed to be about empowering the whole body of Christ. Yeah. And it shouldn't be God's man or woman of power for the hour. It should be the senior leader should be empowering the whole body. But unfortunately, even in some of the most famous, some of the most, you know, on social media churches, there's a high level of control, manipulation, and domination that actually brings injury to people's souls,
yeah,
and get them to a place where they love Jesus, but they have not found the church to be a safe community.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty sobering, especially from somebody who has pastored the same church for almost 26 years. And one of the things that I learned the hard way was sometimes God sends people to you, and sometimes he sends people through you. And there are people that are only supposed to be with you for a season. There are some that God calls to be alongside you for the duration of your ministry. But one of the things that we have desperately tried to do is have a healthy staff environment, leadership environment, church environment, because church should be a safe place. It's not safe to serve Jesus. We know that. And we know that serving Jesus isn't easier. It's better, but it's not easier. And we want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And unfortunately, I've seen so many, not just Christians, but even pastors' kids who have been chewed up and spit out by the church. And I know.
Well, I've got a message. Let me say this.
Yes.
On the basis of that, I've got a message out of Matthew 10 called "The Trauma You Get in Following Jesus." Because the reality is that following Jesus is a very traumatic journey. And if you read Matthew 10, you know, Jesus calls the disciples to come do all these amazing things in the first, say, 11 verses. Then the rest of the chapter, he tells them all the bad things that are going to happen to them. You know, you're going to get scourged. Your family's going to hurt you. You know, they're going to be chasing you. They're going to try to kill you, that type of thing. It's like, I call it the world's worst motivational speech in human history. I mean, he tells them all these good things, but then he says all these bad things are going to happen to you.
Right.
And they still sign up.
Yes.
They still sign up, which is the amazing thing.
Yes.
But it is traumatic to follow Jesus. But here's the thing. The lie of the spirit of trauma is this, that because since it's happened to me, I have to live with it for the rest of my life. I have to live with the torture and thoughts, the tormenting thoughts. I have to live with the memories. And the good news is no matter what's happened to you, you don't have to be defined by what's happened to you, and you don't have to live with it for the rest of your days. There is healing, and there is freedom, and there is peace.
What is the pathway to peace then, Dr. Mike? You know, you talk about that just then, that you haven't got to live with it. There is a a way to peace? Well, and I know you could be here all day explaining this, but what could some people take from you today as far as how to make that first step forward to peace?
Well, to remember, first of all, Psalm 147:3 and Isaiah 61 says, God heals the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. In other words, he binds up their wounds. There is healing from that. The first thing you have to know is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're completely forgiven by God. So therefore, the things that have happened to us are not supposed to define us, because ultimately trauma is all about identity. If you allow the things that have happened to you, the way your family treated you, the way your church treated you, the way you've been treated in life, if you allow that to define you, you will never understand the fullness of God's full identity for you and his dream for you, which is to walk as a beloved, healed son or daughter of a loving father. So secondly, that you understand that God is not the author of your trauma, that there's an enemy of your soul that's out to steal, kill, and destroy the dream of God for your life. And so therefore, once you understand that, then you understand that there's healing for your soul. So then the third thing is to release the lies of shame, which says there's something bad about me, the lies of guilt, which says God is punishing me, and any kind of condemnation that brings hopelessness to you, that makes you feel like, I'll never get over this. Well, that's a lie. Amen. There is complete healing and freedom in Jesus' name. So you ask the Holy Spirit to come and heal your shattered soul. We have this thing in the prayer model that's in the book and is on my website, where we have people put their right hands on the back of their heads, because neuroscience tells us that all the traumatic images and memories that we carry are stored right back here. And that's why many of us have memory issues. We have short-term memory loss because we still have so many traumatic images and memories that actually block the flow. And by the way, that's not a spiritual concept. That's actually the truth from neuroscience, that traumatic images and memories that are not healed actually block the free flow of memory that you should be able to have. And so we pray for those memories to be healed and to dry up and die. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill every part of your body, your mind and your body, that has been occupied by trauma. Amen. And the Holy, it's like a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, except this time you're asking him to fill every area that trauma is occupied so it won't occupy it anymore. So it's receiving the grace that Jesus brought in Isaiah 61 and understanding that grace was not just for them back then, but it's for me right now today, that no matter how severe my trauma is, I don't have to be identified by it. I can actually walk in freedom from it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Dr. Mike, you should write a book. I'm telling you.
Well, can I tell you real quick? A part of my international travels is I've been to Ukraine. I was in Ukraine last March during the war, and we trained over 10,000 people in how to do this prayer model. As they're not just ministering in Ukraine to the military, they're ministering to their entire populace, who literally live in a war zone. I've been to Rwanda. As a matter of fact, going back to Rwanda in September, and we've trained the Catholic Church, to bring this healing prayer model to get them free from the horrors of the genocide. That this is the 30th anniversary of that genocide, and we've seen lots of things. Been to Armenia, been to South Africa, been to Brazil, and we've seen this model happen in lots of different cultures and lots of people getting set free.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Just want to touch back on the whole church hurt type side of things. And, you know, you mentioned two sides there. Obviously, there is that narcissistic pastor, leadership team. It's our way or no way type of feel.
Or the highway.
Yeah, yeah. But then you also have a church that is like, we'll take every volunteer, you can serve as much as you can, and they give so much back to the volunteers to the point where they burn out. And then that's why I think a lot of the documentaries you see on TV, like with Hillsong and others, they will always find that volunteer that lived and breathed for that church to the point where they got burnt out, and now they're slamming the thing that they absolutely loved. Can you touch a little bit on that side of hurt when it comes to someone that's given themselves to it and someone or something let them down and or they're burnt out?
Well, part of the issue, as you well know, is that unfortunately in larger church organizations, we've developed a system that is almost unsustainable without the kind of we call people up to a performance that we say is about following Jesus, but reality is it's about maintaining the structure. And let's just be honest here. A lot of people have given their lives and themselves they have been following Jesus. Jesus sees their sacrifice, but many times it's about maintaining the kind of structure, building bigger, you know, bigger, better all the time. And the reality is that very system can create kind of a bring them in, chew them up, spit them out type of a thing. And I can remember one famous leader he's still pastoring a church someplace, but he used to say, well, there's a lot, you know, he called his church this bus. He says, there's a lot of bodies behind the bus. In other words, yeah. It was like, this is just the cost of doing church. Yeah. And I say, no, it doesn't have to be the cost of doing church. Yes. But it's when we put performance, the idea of performing as equal with serving Jesus, and unless you perform up to our standard, the level, without actually caring for your soul, actually taking care of you and making sure you and your family are okay, that's where we end up with lots and lots of burnout volunteers. That's traumatic, because here's the message that comes to them. You're of no value to us or the kingdom unless you're able to serve the way we tell you to serve, the kind of performance level we want you to serve. Wow. And that is not the gospel of the kingdom. That's not the kingdom of God.
Or to be on call 24/7, where if you're going to do this, you will drop anything at any moment be here. And it's just so hurtful for so many people. That model has proven to be part of the problem. And I'm so grateful that you're writing a book that's going to address some of these things to see church people healed, that serving Jesus is a joy. Following Jesus is not connected to how good of a singer you are or to how talented you are. Right, it's simply picking up our cross and following him and sharing good news. And how can we share good news for others if it's bad news for us?
Mm. Amen. I agree.
That's good, Chuck. Thanks. You should write a book.
You should write a book, Chuck.
Well, Dr. Mike, I know you have touched on a lot of things right now. Before we have you pray, what are some of the things that are just burning on your heart for the church and for people right at this time?
Well, what's burning on my heart right now is I feel that I do have a prophetic call to call the Church of Jesus Christ in America to address this issue of trauma from the pulpit. And in a way, you know, one of the issues that's happened with the whole issue of unhealed trauma is that in the church, at least the evangelical church, we have basically turned everybody who has any kind of trauma over to the psychological and therapeutic community. And we've said, look, go get counseling, go get done whatever you need to get done. And we bought the what I call the lie that it's going to take you years to get over your trauma, that you're going to have to carry this for a long time. And I've actually had pastors and leaders and counselors say to me, well, you know, this is just what trauma is. People just have to live with it for a long time, have to cope with it. And I said, no, what is the good news?
Right.
What is Isaiah 61 talking about? It's talking about healing the brokenhearted and setting the captives free. And so that's the first thing. The second thing that is near and dear to my heart is there's an understanding that there is a direct correlation between unhealed childhood trauma and the onset of addictions. Mm. And many times within the church, we have pointed the finger at addicts and people who have issues, whether it be drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it is, and we've given them a behavior management answer rather than the healing answer of healing their heart. And what you discover, what I've discovered with literally thousands of people, is that once you get the trauma healed, the addiction drops off of them completely and they get completely set free.
Wow.
And so it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to quit pointing the finger at addicts or trying to use a worldly model to try to get them off their whatever they're on, and actually begin to expect for the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that they still don't have to be disciplined. Doesn't mean that they don't have to say no, but you got to start with the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is the shattered soul.
Yeah.
It's the broken heart. It's the trauma they experience. Once they get healed of the trauma, I had one veteran who literally was drinking, he was chewing, he was smoking. And the night that he got healed and set free of his trauma, he went home. He got sick when he tried to chew. He couldn't smoke. He hasn't had a drink in 4 years. I mean, he just that night completely set him free.
Wow, wow.
So I'm saying that probably those two issues, the addressing of trauma from a biblical viewpoint within the church, as well as an understanding of how addictions and trauma are connected, are probably my two biggest things that I'm going after right now.
Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. That's so good.
Well, Dr. Mike, would you lead us in prayer? I know you have hit on a lot of different topics here, but if you could just lead us in prayer for those that are listening or watching.
He's connected with some people.
Yeah,
you really have.
Yeah. So if you could do that, that'd be great.
I'd be glad to. So, Father, I just thank you for all these amazing people that are on this podcast right now. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that if they know Jesus, Father, would you affirm to them again that they're completely forgiven? That there's nothing between them and the Father, and that the God, that you are not the author of their trauma, that in Jesus' name, that they would receive not only the freedom to be healed of their trauma, but literally that their shattered souls, their mind, their wills, their emotions would be completely healed and restored in Jesus' name. And I declare over you right now that you are no longer defined by your trauma. You're not defined by how people treated you. You're not defined by what you've done. You're not even defined by your family or what you've witnessed. You're defined by who your Father calls you. He calls you my beloved child, in whom he's well pleased. So I pray right now in Jesus' name for a healing of your mind. I just speak healing to all the traumatic images and memories that you carry that still create nightmares and night terrors. In Jesus' name, that they would dry up and die. That your mind would no longer be assaulted by the lies of the spirit of trauma, but instead you would be healed and restored. Your memory would be restored and there would be shalom, the peace and the wholeness of God come to your mind. I also pray right now in Jesus' name for every assignment of the powers of darkness, the spirit of trauma, the spirit of fear. Speak to the person who's been having suicidal thoughts, and in Jesus' name, tell Satan, no, those thoughts don't come from you. They're from a demonic spirit that's out to kill you. And yes. So we cancel the spirit of suicide, murder, death, panic attacks in Jesus' name, and addictions in Jesus' name. We sever their assignment against you by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill every single person in their body, in their soul, and in their mind, every place that trauma is occupied. Fill them now with your peace, love, joy, and power. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you for that. And I know you have spoken to a lot of people today, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be wanting to connect with you. Obviously, the first way people can connect is through the book. Get the book. Get it on Amazon, correct?
You get on Amazon, or you can go to my website, which is GodHealsPTSD.com.
Okay.
GodHealsPTSD.com. There's a store there that has teachings as well as the book. Let me say this. I've got a TV show. I've got a TV show. If you know who Sid Roth is.
Yes.
He has a network called the It's Supernatural Network. And if you go onto YouTube, you can find it. I have a TV show called Living Unbroken. And it's at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Thursdays on the It's Supernatural Network. And we deal with all things trauma and emotional health, wellness and healing. I just finished my recording my second season. So there are right now 14 episodes there. There will be 28 episodes eventually there on it. And once again, it's you can watch it anytime on the It's Supernatural app on your phone. Great. But yeah, it's called Living Unbroken. So you can look for that as well.
Great. Great.
Excellent. Yeah.
So that's a way that you can people can connect. What are other ways they can connect with you, Dr. Mike? Social media, you on there a little bit?
Yeah, I am. So I've got a Facebook, of course, yeah, Facebook page, God Heals PTSD. I also have Instagram, which is at God Heals PTSD. So both of those, you can just hit me up there. I've got my schedule through August. I'm speaking in August in Houston at a Rwandan Genocide Survivors Conference.
Wow.
There's a huge community of Rwandan genocide survivors and families, and they've asked me to come. As I said, I'm going back to Rwanda in September, going to Ukraine later on this year as well to keep training the church. So, but yeah, you can just at God Heals PTSD on Instagram or God Heals PTSD on Facebook.
Great. Love it. Guys, go check it out. And like Dr. Mike said, the name of the book is Supernatural Freedom from the Captivity of Trauma. Go to Amazon and get yourself a copy right now.
That's great. Well, the last thing we have to do on the podcast, I think you'll remember this from the last time, is the big three. Three questions that have nothing to do with what we've talked about, but everything to do with you. And do you want me to start, Chuck?
Yes, you start.
Is that right? Yep. Okay, all right. You have mentioned a lot of places that you've traveled, both in the States and also globally. First question, and I think you'll guess the second question after, but first question, globally, your favorite place that you have traveled to?
New Zealand.
Oh.
I got to go to Wellington, New Zealand. Wow. I got to tour all of Peter Jackson Studios and a lot of the places where they filmed The Lord of the Rings. And New Zealand is just such a fantastic country. It really is. It's beautiful.
Wow, that's a good answer. That's good.
Wow. Yeah, I got to switch up my question now because I was going to ask your favorite place outside of the U.S. So I'll switch it up. What's your favorite city to visit outside of Peoria, outside of where you live in Pennsylvania? What's your favorite city in the U.S. to visit?
San Diego.
Okay. Ooh. Didn't take you long. You were ready.
I go to San Diego about 2 to 3 times a year. And the temperature there is fantastic. You have sea on one side, you have mountains on the other side.
Yes.
You know, they have lots of issues, but it's a beautiful city. It really is.
Brilliant.
San Diego.
So last question. You obviously are from this area, and this is going to be really for people who are in the area. So I apologize if you are not from Peoria area, but what do you miss the most in Peoria?
There's so many things. I have to admit, and I realize the quality has gone down significantly, but the two places I miss the most are number one, Steak and Shake. When it was Steak and Shake, not what it is now.
Just to throw this out there, there is new management in Peoria at the Steak and Shakes, and it is back to what it was. Especially, I mean, I don't know if everyone, the one that I go to out at Grand Prairie, it's like, I mean, they're even doing the whole Chick-fil-A My Pleasure. I mean, it's...
Really?
Yeah, come on.
I'm going to bring on the Frisco burger.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, come on, that's it. That's my favorite.
Oh, there you go.
Frisco melt, man. That's right. And, of course, Avanti's. I mean, you miss Avanti's.
And they're still...
When I went to Bradley, Avanti's was right there, and so... You know, that was a favorite place to eat all the time.
Yeah, that one's closed.
It was reasonable. That one's closed. But Avanti's, I really believe, is the most affordable restaurant in the Peoria area.
Yeah, yeah. When I first came to America, myself and Dave Jane and Mark Tipple, who are two other English guys, we would always joke about if we liked a gal, then. The best way to find out would be do the dollar movie at the time
and take them to Avani's because because you wouldn't spend a ton of money if it didn't work out, but it was like an Italian restaurant if it did, you know what I mean? Yeah. So
that is great.
Now I have to say, I do have to say one last thing. One of the hardest things for me to leave Peoria, obviously leaving my kids behind was a little tough. But I had such a great friendship and still do with so many pastors in the region. Obviously your dad, Andy, my friendship with you and our time that I served with you at Dream Center, William Preston, Tom Eckhart, Cal Rickner was been a great friend of mine as well. I really miss that. I don't have that out here. And, you know, when you create friends in ministry like that and you kind of go through, whether it be prayer times or tragedies and difficulties with people, it creates a bond with you. And so there's nothing like walking with brothers and sisters in ministry together. So I do miss that still to this day.
That's great. Yeah. Well, we just want to thank you for coming on. We know this won't be the last because we want you back when you finish that book.
When that book comes out.
And what'd you say, 2025? Is that when you're thinking?
It'll be January 2025 right now.
Great. We will look forward to that. And again, we just want to thank you for not only coming on, but friendship. We wish we could see you more, but obviously we understand you're a very busy guy, but it definitely has been great having you on Revival Town today.
Yeah, we need to get you to Rock Church. I'd love to have you come and do some stuff. It'd be really, really cool.
It would be my privilege. You know, you understand this. Chuck, I don't make my own invitations. I only go places where people invite me. If you want to invite me, man, I'd love to come.
Okay,
anytime.
Great. You know what we should do? We should, and people on the podcast can hold us to this, all right? We will bring Pastor Mike, Dr. Mike in. We'll have him at Rock Church, and then we'll do something at the Dream Center with trauma, because we see a lot of people with trauma at the Dream Center.
Yeah.
So let's do that. We'll work on
love it.
All right. There you go. You got a booking out of this as well.
Right on.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on to Revival Town today.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Hey, I love you guys. I love you. Think about you all the time. I love Peoria. I love the Dream Center, Rock Church, and everything God is doing in Peoria. God loves Peoria. He is going to do some amazing things in the days ahead.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Did you just kiss at the camera?
I feel like I'm on this love song radio show with that.
Oh, the midnight hour.
Yeah. The love of Jesus is in the house. Going to turn that frown upside down. No, what a great conversation.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
And hold us to it, everyone. We're going to get him in. We'll do a weekend.
Bringing him.
I think that would really good for Central Illinois. So thank you, Dr. Mike, for that.
Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah. Always good to catch up as well.
I mean, we say every week, it's really good, but we really mean it this time.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not lying.
I need to deliver from the trauma from doing podcasting
with me,
with you.
Yeah.
You can say the same.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I'm on my knees every day. I have a treat for you.
A treat?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Because we didn't do the podcast, like right at Easter.
Okay.
Right?
You have an Easter treat for me?
I've got an Easter treat for you, and it's part of Taking His Mate.
Okay.
So you're not guessing anything, but I bought in an English Easter treat.
An English Easter treat. Yeah. Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Huh? Cadbury's cream egg?
Real Cadbury.
Oh, the real. The real. The one and only.
Oh, snap.
Now, the real reason why I've got them is I was at Walmart last night and they were on sale for 90 cents.
That's all I'm worth.
Well, it was a bit too much.
Okay.
But, you know.
Yeah.
So, so the taint is made. What we want you to do is rummage around at your house and see if you can find any Easter treats
that's still left over. And this is our little Easter egg.
So Cadbury is English.
Have you never had any of these before?
I have, but I didn't put the connection with the Cadbury chocolates that you sent me. Oh. So it's the same.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
You never knew that?
No.
Now, for those that are listening from the UK, there is only really a few Cadburys that make it over here because Hershey's bought them.
Okay.
And it doesn't taste as good.
Yeah.
Because it's all down to the...
For Christmas, you sent me a box of Cadbury chocolates.
Now, they were direct from England.
And those were delicious.
Yeah.
This is direct from Walmart.
Direct from Walmart, but you get the taste. But the only ones, the Cadbury stuff is like these, the mini eggs.
Yeah.
I'm overdosing on them at the minute.
Ooh. That's,
For my birthday, the Dream Center, they got me, I think it's like a pound bag of mini eggs, Cadbury's mini.
Oh. So on the inside of them, is there the cream on the mini
eggs? No, that's just pure chocolate with a shell.
Oh, okay.
Like a crispy.
Oh, wow.
For those listening for the first time, normally I'm throwing an English word at Chuck, and he's got to try and guess what it means because it's a word that is not used in America. But today we're having a treat.
Today we're just having an English Easter treat.
Oh.
All right.
Oh. Oh. Oh, yeah. Mm. Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's delicious.
We may keep these for the next episode.
Okay. Mm. All right.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Revival Town this week. Hope you're enjoying your expired Easter eggs and chocolate.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Revival Town Podcast. Make sure you're following us on social media and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, head on over to revivaltownpodcast.com.